Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
And on February 13th, 1981, Maureen and Francis Lawler decided to take a rare night off from looking after their baby daughter Lisa and headed to a nightclub called Stardust in North Dublin. The couple, two ordinary young Dubliners, sadly became famous in the worst of all possible ways when their young lives were taken by the most infamous fire in modern history. Their daughter Lisa joins me now. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Jennifer.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. It's great to hear. 40 years ago, 48 young people lost their lives in Stardust Fire. Your parents were among them. How are you doing around their anniversary?
Well, it's normally the night before. So yesterday I was grand.
Yeah.
But it's the day before that when I can see them in my own mind getting ready. Like, I rang a couple of friends, close friends that I have on Saturday. And I was just like, oh, I didn't feel good. Yesterday I was a bit more calm, but I hate the day leading up to when I can see them getting ready and all the excitement, and they just were never to come back.
You were 17 months old when this happened.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what happened to you after that event?
Yeah, they went to the Stardust and I was at home with a babysitter.
Yeah.
She panicked, left the house, and I was left there. And my nan from Cabra, Elizabeth and Paddy Farrell, my grandparents, they came to mind me. They took me up to their house, and 3 weeks later, my grandmother was 54 and she died of a broken heart. So I had to go down and be read by my father's parents. That's what happened.
Can you tell me about them, your father's parents?
Yeah, my grandmother was an absolute legend of a woman. Like, she was brilliant. Loved cooking and, you know, the bacon. And she was just brilliant, all-round Dublin woman. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other way to describe her. She was so nice, so kind. He was a great walker. They had a great team. And then we had to move. We moved house then. And she kind of lost her, you know, kind of a little way a bit, because when we moved house, she just loved our big house and all. So we were building houses down there on that site, so we had to move. And then we got on with it. She was just an all-round excellent, brilliant woman. She really, really was.
They must have been in agony themselves over what happened.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I remember being small, like I'd say probably 6, 7, 8. And I started to not look my mother, my grandmother, in the eye, because every time I looked at her, she'd start crying. And I thought it was because of me. But it was obviously she just seen, every time she looked at me, she must have saw my father.
Yeah.
So I did find that very hard, I have to say. She was constantly crying, God love her. I mean, she must have been in absolute pieces.
When were you told what happened to your parents? Do you remember what age you were?
Yeah, well, they were always saying, like, obviously I was screaming, you know, because I just remember them saying, Mammy and Daddy has gone to heaven. And heaven was probably like spaying to me in my little head because I hadn't got a clue. And when I was starting school then, I just remember looking at Nan and saying, are they coming back? And she said, no, and they never are. They're gone and heaven is forever. And you're going to be okay. She kind of came down, you know, to me level. And I just couldn't let her go. It was real then. I knew then that, like, there was no coming home. They were never coming back. And then I realised exactly how broken she was then. And I just thought, this is it. And they're never coming back.
And, of course, there was then huge interest in you from the media. I mean, you were the Stardust baby.
Yeah, I kind of was like this. I just can describe it like when people saw me, they kind of went, oh, you know, like, it was like I was like a tragic figure, you know, like everybody wanted to hold me. Everybody wanted to say hello to me. And if you were anywhere, people would go home and say, you wouldn't believe who we met today. Even in my 20s, Jennifer, and my 30s, and I'd be going around pubs, people would say, such and such is over there. And our sister's brother's auntie died in the Stardust. Will you go over and say hello to her? And like, sometimes I'd be like, oh, God, because I don't know what to say either. You know what I mean? It's a kind of a funny situation, kind of. So, up till now, I mean, it was crazy. But with the book, it's just, it's mental now. Like, but yeah, I'm so glad I did it then in the end.
Totally. I mean, even back then, even just normal people, there wasn't just not normal people, but, you know, regular folk coming up to you, but you're journalists. You had your picture taken. I mean, what was school like for you?
People were saying, smile, you know, like my grandmother would be doing her best and she'd kind of tap me out, you know, from the back and she'd say, smile. And sure, I was going to smile anyway because I hadn't got a clue. And when I was getting a little bit older, she'd say, smile, I'll bring you up to Bamba. And I used to be like, you know, that's the way she was. And that's the way it was. It was Stardust Baby and they just all wanted a piece of me. And hard, it was very tough, yeah.
I can imagine. Well. And what was school like? Was it hard for you? Did they make allowances? Yeah. What was it like?
Oh, constantly. Okay. And I mean, when I look back, I go, I don't know why they made so many allowances. Like, it was just like everyone was, it was kind of in hushed tones, you know, over my head, that, you know, who that is.
Yeah.
And that's baby. And, like, I got away with kind of murder. And I'd say, please don't ring Nan. She's not well. This is even in secondary school, Jennifer. And I'd be saying, Nan is not well. Please don't ring Nan. And, like, Nan would be grand at home. You know what I mean? But I just didn't want to be there.
Totally. I get that. Were your parents talked about openly in the house?
Yeah, openly, very much so in the house. Like, it wouldn't be every day now, like, but openly, like, I'd say, tell us about the time. So whatever, you know, and they'd be telling me. But there was an awful lot of heartbreak. So it was, I'd kind of rather just talk to someone else, you know, like me friend or whatever. Yeah. And people used to knock for me in the house and they'd say, is Lisa coming out? We'll mind her. And you're probably smaller than me, you know. But it's a crazy situation. And I was always like wrapped up. She'd be saying, put your coat on, you know, the way your nanny had gone.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, she was just great, yeah.
Amazing. I can't imagine what it was like to hear about these two, you know, gorgeous people and never getting the chance to get to know them. Tragically, your dad made it out of the nightclub but went back in for your mom. You were angry about that for a long time, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm conflicted about that. My opinion about that kind of changes every little few days. Like, I can't believe... No, I know he did it, just he obviously didn't think, first of all. But he came back out and then he went back in. I mean, like, he's a hero, a complete and absolute hero in my eyes. But I'm a bit with him that he didn't stay out. And, like, he obviously didn't think, but it's very tough, that part of it. And I kind of don't want to have these feelings about him because he's an absolute hero. But I can't help it because that's my dad. And, you know, he went back in and that was... He was gone. So the two of them died together.
Talk to me about your life as you got older. You received compensation for the deaths of your parents, is that right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned there you've written a book about your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote the book last year. I was to write the book 10 years ago, Jennifer. And I'm very, as I said, I'm a real spiritual person and I always kind of land, you know, where I'm supposed to be. Mm. So they just wasn't, I wasn't pushed about the book 10 years ago. So I knew it wasn't the right time. Like, they guide me. I do believe that. They guide me in all the right ways. So I didn't do the book 10 years ago. And then I did the book last January. It was like pre-COVID, but then COVID hit. And normally, Jennifer, I run away, like, from things. I have an anxiety issue since I'm a child. So I run. But when COVID hit, there was nowhere to go. I couldn't go out. So I had to face it and I had to sit down and write the book. So I did that. With a brilliant lady called Deirdre Nuttall. It wouldn't have happened without Deirdre. She's an absolute legend. And I had to sit down and I had to face the fear and do it anyway, as they say. And I did that. I can't believe this song.
Fair play to you. You did something incredible when you were 21. I can't believe you did this. You fostered a child when you were 21.
Yeah.
I could barely string a sentence together. I was partying so much and I could barely tie my shoelaces. So you fostered a child. How did that happen?
Well, Craig, he was the son of a friend of an auntie of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were obviously sick. And I said, I'll mind them one time. And then I had him for a few weeks, brought him home. And when I went down to a funeral, I just saw pandemonium on the street, and I said, what's going on? And God love his mother. She said to me, Lisa, what am I going to do? They're taking him away from me. So I said, calm down. We'll sort it out. You know, me, calm down, Jennifer. I was a little bit. So up we went, and they just said, will you mind Craig for a few days? And I said, no. If he's there to be looked after, I'm taking him for good. And I walked out of the hospital that evening, myself and John. Now, John kept saying, Lisa, are you okay now? In the head, he meant, I think. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I knew it was the right thing to do. And we absolutely adore him. He's brilliant. He's nearly 19, Jennifer, hairdressing and all now. He's doing brilliant.
Good on him. How old was he when you fostered him?
One. Yeah.
That's a handful. You're phenomenal for doing that. That is incredible. Really. So he's doing well now, hairdressing away, doing good, 19?
Hairdressing away, flying up. Like, I look at him sometimes and I say, Jesus, where did the years go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's brilliant, flying around. Well, obviously not now, COVID.
Yeah.
Doing his hairdressing, but he's doing his practice and his workshops and all his bits and pieces. Nothing slips with Craig.
Good
he's
on him.
He's a great child, I'm telling you, he's brilliant.
And you went on to have two more children.
I had Frankie.
Frankie.
And he's 10. And then I had Lennon. He's 7 next week.
Great names, by the way.
Yeah, Frankie's after me. Father, Lennon's after. And people do say, is it after John? And I say, no, Neil, Celtic manager. But yeah. So, yeah. But,
do you talk to the three of them about your parents quite openly? They probably can't.
Yeah, I'm very, very open.
Yeah.
Even with Craig,
yeah.
When we used to go out to the grave, he'd say, what happened? And I'd say, they died in a fire and this is where they are. And he'd be asking me all questions. So he was well aware. And with the kids, meet the babies, I'm very open with them. Because if you're not open, Jennifer, with kids like that, they get a fright. You know, like if I told Frankie today our nanny and granddad died in a fire and I hadn't kind of schooled her before then, she'd have a breakdown.
Yeah.
Because
it's still
they did that with me. They kept saying, Mammy and Daddy's gone to heaven. Albeit when I did realise heaven was forever, it wasn't a massive shock, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like I was shocked, but I had already known that they were gone to heaven and there was a chance that they weren't coming back.
Now, there's been a lengthy campaign for justice for the victims of Stardust, but you had to sit out a lot of the campaigning, didn't you?
Yeah, because at one stage, I'd be a very emotional person and I wouldn't be, I kind of talking about, like, say, the depths of what happened to them. I nearly died when I realised the severity of the situation.
Yeah.
40 years looking for justice. I mean, it's long enough now at this stage. You know, what we need to do is we've great solicitor on board now. Darren Macken is brilliant. And we need to just get out there now and get the justice. And we have the support. You see, this is what I mean. The support is there to get justice. As I said, when I close this book that I've written, The Stardust Baby, when I close that, I'd like to close it on that part of my life. I'll always remember them. They'll always be in my heart. But I'd like to be known as Lisa. And I would love to see justice in the next year. Definitely.
And there is another inquest later this year. What do you hope is the outcome?
Well, I hope that the truth is known. Like, you know, we need to know what happened. Plus, I'm not 100% sure. That's my mother because she's not buried in the same grave as my father and they were married because she's not 100% identified.
Right.
So that's what I want. I want to find out if that's her remains. That's the first thing. And then we can walk there and we can get justice because they should be buried together. They're just side by side now.
Well, Lisa Lawler, thank you so much for coming on
Jennifer,
and telling us your story. I wish you the very best of luck and the very best of luck with the inquest later this year. We'll keep an eye and hopefully talk to you soon, okay?
Definitely. Thanks very
much. Thanks, Lisa.
Jennifer. Thanks. Bye now.
Best of luck. Bye. Bye.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.